Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Hallelujah. Just stand to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you. Turn to the other one and say, you'll be blessed because you came. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your Spirit who is in our midst. We ask that your will be done for this time that we are here. Oh God, glorify yourself. Show yourself for who you are. And let us marvel and be in awe and say glory and glory and glory and glory and honor be to the Lord our God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Last Sunday we talked about the work of God. And then when we left, I don't know where we were with my wife. And then I think she asked me what I'm going to preach this Sunday. And I was a bit blank for some moment. And then the Lord quickened something to me, which as I meditated, I found is actually the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So today I want us to go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Hallelujah. John chapter 9. Are you there? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. God is in this place and something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Something good is going to happen to you. John chapter 9 verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about working while it is day. Hallelujah. Working while it is day. Of course, you realize when Jesus said, I must work while it is day, he did not mean literal day, like daylight and night, because we know of several instances where he's seen to be working. And by the way, Jesus' idea of working was very broad. We'll get to that, but it was very broad. You remember in John 3, the Bible tells us that then came a certain Pharisee called Nicodemus to Jesus by night. Hallelujah. And Jesus had a discussion with him. He taught him something. He was working, and yet he's working at night, and yet he told us he's not supposed to work at night. We also know of several instances where he prayed all night long. Prayer is work. You remember? We read last Sunday from Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, that there's this man called Epaphras who is always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He's working. Prayer is work. Hallelujah. It's not just having a good time with the Lord. So Jesus used to work. Even on the day when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember? When he took his apostles and then he left the nine of them somewhere and took the three and went further with them and then left those somewhere and went further and prayed. In Matthew 26, I think, tells us that he prayed, then came back and found them sleeping, told them, couldn't you wait with me just an hour? And then he goes back and comes and finds them sleeping. Hallelujah. Then the third time, when he comes back, he told them it is enough. It is enough. Hallelujah. And then he says, now the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the Gentiles. Glory to Jesus. But I wanted to say something there, that in Mark chapter 13, the Bible tells us that Jesus tells about this, the kingdom being like a master leaving his house in charge of servants and giving them authority and to each one his work. And one of the things it emphasizes is that he told the porter to watch. Glory to Jesus. He told him to watch. So even when Jesus was telling these people watch, he's telling them to work. But when? At night. Glory to Jesus. Am I making sense? I'm just trying to explain to you that when Jesus says, I must work while it is day, because the night is coming, he's not talking about physical night. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 9. Are you there? I'll wait for you to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 9. It says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Glory to Jesus. Again, there it is. We are not of the night, but of the day. We are not children of darkness, but children of light, or children of the day. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So now it mentions something interesting there. It says that those who sleep, sleep at night. So night, as opposed to day, is trying to make a point to you about something about rest, something about hours of sleep, hours when work cannot be done. Glory to Jesus. Now I want to talk about that today, and it's going to be good. Turn to your neighbor again and tell them it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. It's going to be good. So allow me to be a little bit poetic about this, but you will get something. So in the first sense in which the Lord is trying to tell us that we must work while it is day. Last Sunday we talked about your work of faith. We talked about labors of love. We talked about laboring in prayer. We talked about doing the work of an evangelist. You remember that? We also talked about discipling the nations, which you know, a disciple is a student, a learner. To make disciples, Jesus recommended how it's done is that you teach them to observe, to do according to all that I have commanded you. Glory to Jesus. And that too is work, it's labor, because Paul tells, I think, Timothy, he tells him to recognize those in the congregation who labor in the word and in doctrine. Glory to Jesus. Then we also looked at in Genesis 45, where it tells us about, from Joseph's life story, tells us about preserving God a posterity in the earth. Posterity means descendants or offsprings or people who remain when you are gone, successors. Hallelujah. And then lastly, we talked about his six worshippers. In John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for he seeketh such worshippers to worship him. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, today I'm talking about all this work that we talked about. It's not going to happen unless you understand what working while it is day is about. Hallelujah. Because you need to know how and when you are to do this work. Now, Jesus tells us The clue there is that I must work while it is day. The first thought that came to me, my goodness, by revelation, the first thought that came to me is Jesus is saying, you must work on working days. You know, in companies and in the corporate world, when they say that when you bank your check with us, it takes 4 days to mature or something, what they mean is that if you put the check there on Thursday, don't expect it on Sunday. Expect it on what? Maybe Tuesday or something, because Saturday and Sunday are not working days. And because they are not working days, they don't even call them days. Are you getting that? Same thing with when you take leave. People say, I have 30 days leave every year. I've split it into, I don't know, four lots. I'll do three days or so. Oh, I don't know how many days to make up 30. Again, they do not mean Saturdays and Sundays. They don't mean public holidays. They don't mean Christmas, things like that. They don't count those as days. Now let's go back to Jesus. I must work while it is what? In other words, I must work while it is a working day. Glory to Jesus. Say amen. I think that is something. You can even go home now. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I must work on a working day. Now go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse... glory to Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 14. Now, you remember this is the incident where Jesus is, I think he was in a synagogue, and then there was this woman who was bowed together, who had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and they brought her to Jesus to cure her. And then the leader of the synagogue was not pleased about it. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 10, Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Let's go back to verse 10. It says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now we are getting to the working days. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, now look at this. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Glory to Jesus. You see, I've learned a great secret in the Bible. There are things you're supposed to learn by the wrong things people said, and there are also things you're supposed to learn by the right things that were said. Because so often, the so-called wrong things are not wrong in themselves. It's just about where they've been applied. Hallelujah. For example, like at the raising of Lazarus, you remember, was it Mary or Martha who said to Jesus that, yeah, I know Lazarus will raise up on the last day. She was right, but Jesus was more right when he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. So if I came and quoted that scripture and said, you see, Mary said, we are going to rise on the last day. You can't say, no, that was wrong, because Jesus corrected her. He didn't correct her because what she said was wrong. But he corrected that because what he said was more right. Hallelujah. Based on the application. Glory to Jesus. Now, I want you to see this. He says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Now, observe carefully Jesus' answer. He says, then the Lord, verse 15, then the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or release his ox, untie his ox or his donkey from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Glory to Jesus. So Jesus brings in an interesting thought. He says, every one of you actually goes and unties his donkey on the Sabbath day and takes it to watering. But you don't do any other work, but you do that work. You remember even in the case when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the fields, Mark chapter 2, verse 23. Let's go there. You'll see something interesting. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. Are you there? Mark 2:23. All right. It says, and it came to pass that he, Jesus, went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said to them, now look at this, something interesting here. He says, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungry? He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the shoe bread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. Now verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So I want to go back to where we, to the scripture we came from in Luke, and show you that the head of the synagogue was right in saying there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Hallelujah. And on such, on days other than those, people should not work. Because remember, the Sabbath was there before even the law came. The Sabbath was there right from creation. The Sabbath will be there, was there after Jesus died and the New Testament came about. The principle of laboring to enter into his rest according to Hebrews still stands. Glory to Jesus. There is always a rest for the people of God. You remember, it even says that in Hebrews, I think chapter 4, that therefore there still remains a rest for the people of God. That means not all days are working days. God created the world in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested, to set a pattern for his people that there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Now, I'm trying to show you that they were wrong in trying to correct Jesus about healing the man, because Jesus is trying to introduce a higher truth here, that your 6 days may not be my 6 days. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. And then our 6 days may not always be Monday to, what is that? Sunday to Friday. Glory to Jesus. And it's very easy to understand. Now, first of all, I want to say that we work while it is a working day. Now, that means, glory to Jesus. You see, the first question is, who are we working for? That's what determines the working day. Glory to Jesus. Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. If you had a worker and your set days of working are, let me say, which kind of business? If it's a bank, maybe Monday to Friday. If it's a fast food place, it might actually be Monday to Monday. Maybe different times, but their six version of 6 days may not be your version of 6 days. What the Lord seemed to impress upon me is, you see, it is a working day for as long as the Lord of your life, the master of your life, says it is a working day, isn't it? If you came to my home and you are a babysitter or something, you cannot tell me at the other people's house, I work on these days. You get that. And if we have the master who is the Lord Jesus, he's trying to tell you that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So what he decides is the Sabbath is the one that is the Sabbath. And then he even makes it better because he says, is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Again, who is deciding? It's not me. It is the Master. Glory to God. So I wanted you to see that when the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made, the key word there is the Lord. Lord means Master. When the Master says this is work day, this is a working day, then that qualifies to be your working day. So you'll notice in the customs of Israel, whenever they were planning journeys or planning work schedules, they always tried to fit it within 6 days or to break it into segments of 6 days, because they did not want to be found somewhere on the journey on the seventh day. Because on the seventh day, you're supposed to be stationary, not moving, not doing anything, even cooking, by the way. Hallelujah. Now, I have a good illustration of that. Don't go there, but make a note of it. In Matthew 16, as Matthew 16 is ending, Jesus tells his apostles that there are some of you standing here who will not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then chapter 16 ends. Remember, these books were not written in chapters and verses. The verses were introduced by people trying to make the book easy to find references in. So chapter 16 ends, and then chapter 17 begins and says, now, remember where we are? I must work on a working day. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain, which later turned out to be the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, I'm saying all this to say, using figures of speech, analogies, and the like, to tell you that what are your 6 days? What are your working days? There is a pattern by which God works in your life, because he's the Lord of your life. And as the Lord of your life, he's also the Lord of your Sabbath. He's the Lord of when you rest and when you work. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17. Are you there? Wow. This must be. Okay. Matthew chapter 17. How does it begin? And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up on a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Now, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. You see, the first thing the Lord is trying to establish with work is that there are rest days in this life of working. Not every day is a working day. Hallelujah. So even while we pray, while we do the work of an evangelist, while we labor in doctrine and in the word, while we preserve God a posterity in the earth, not every day is a working day. There is a day that God says, now, relax. Now, rest. That they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Glory to Jesus. You see, in the business world, people, I was trying to show you the connection between it being a working day and it being the Lord's day. It is a working day in as far as the Lord of your life is concerned. The master, the employer, is the one who determines what is a working day. Now, in the business world, even in normal life, people use this expression. They say, Tuesday is your day. I'm not working on anyone else, but who? But you. They say, it is your what? It is your day. Now, I remember something Jesus said one time. He said, who of you, when you go back home, will first go and thank your servant for what he has done, and then, you know, tell him you're going to wash his hands and so on? No, he says, actually, what you'll do, you will go and sit down, and then he'll bring food, and he will wash your hands and so on, and you will eat. And even after that, you will not thank him. Because you will not thank him, but rather it is him who will say, I am an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which was required of me. My goodness. Hallelujah. That's what it means. You see, a servant does not have rights, does not have, they don't have a life. Their life is the master's life. What the master is thinking is what they are thinking. What he's doing is what they are doing. So when we say a working day, we mean the Lord's day. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let me go to another side of the coin. Glory to Jesus. Before I go to that side of the coin, I want to remind you again of something that happened in Paul and Barnabas' life. You remember there's this demonized girl who came following them and was saying, you know, these are the servants of the Lord who declare unto you the word of the way of salvation, and so on and so forth. And the Bible is very clear. It says, this she did for many days. Now, I had a man of God say something that really amazed me. He said, you see, Paul couldn't just decide any time he wanted when to cast out the devil. You see, you must remember everything the Bible tells us to do, it has two sides to it, like we said last week. In as far as you're a believer and you're part of the body of Christ and you have the life of God, you don't actually need any special ability to do what he tells you. If he tells you give, you give. If he tells you forgive, you forgive. Some preacher made fun of how some of us preach, and he said, you know, it is always give me or forgive me. Either give me or forgive me, and he made fun of that. But let me tell you, we still need to be forgiven, and we still need to be given. But I'm still getting back to this, that everything the Lord tells us to do, in as far as we are in the body, and members of the body function, like your hands, your feet, they don't need any special ability to do what they are, what by design they are. Hands do what hands do. Feet do what feet do. However, there's also the other side of the coin, that even those things that you do, Jesus says, without him you can do nothing. You can't do any of those things which you can do. Glory to Jesus. Now, that's why I'm trying to tell you, for example, now, Mark 16, verse 17 tells us, these signs shall preach the gospel, they that believe and are baptized, I think 15 to 17. Then comes to 17 and says, these are the signs that will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. In my name they shall pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall trample on snakes and scorpions. He says, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's saying that these things are simply signs of being believers. Believers in what? In the preaching of the gospel. You believed the preaching, you got saved, you became a believer. Now these are the signs. Signs means things that you recognize something by. So these are the ways in which you recognize those who will have converted, who will have become believers. They will do these kind of things. But let me tell you, on the other side of the coin, there is none of those things any of us can do. I cannot heal a single person. I can't even heal a fly. Glory to Jesus. Yet Jesus says in Luke 10, when he sends out the 12 and the 70 later in Luke, Luke 9 and then Luke 10. When he sends them out, he tells them heal the sick. It is them he tells to heal the sick. It is them he tells to cleanse the lepers. It is them he tells to raise the dead. And so you find people asking believers, if you really can raise the dead, how come you haven't raised any of these dead people? Glory to Jesus. It's because everything that you can do, you actually can't do. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You can do it, but again, you can't do it. Paul says, it is the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is I that lives, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. By Galatians chapter 2. Let's read there. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to keep that I, yet not I, in mind. It is I who, it, for example, if a lady gives birth, it is her who gave birth, yet not her. Glory to God. If you took your kids to school, it is you who took them. If you had an accident and knocked a boda boda man, it is you who knocked the boda boda man. It's not the Lord. Hallelujah. But it is I, yet not I. Glory to Jesus. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 verse Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Well, this is not the one. Oh, yes. It is the one. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So I'm trying to tell you that you can cast out demons, yet again you cannot. There is none of you who can cast out a single demon. There is none of us who can raise a dead person. That is a fact. Hallelujah. There's none of us who can cleanse a leper. You can do nothing. Zero. Zilch. Hallelujah. Nothing. Zero. Tewali. Glory to God. You can do nothing. Yet again, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that is the sense in which you must understand. Paul is here moving with Barnabas and there's a demonized girl who is taunting them. What she's saying is correct, but it's by a demon. Like some preacher said, who wants the devil advertising for them? You know? So the devil is advertising for them. These are the sons of the Most High God. And it was more dramatic than that. You know? So, if Paul could just cast out a demon anytime he wants, in other words, if any day was a working day, Paul would have cast out that demon the very first day. But the Bible says this she did many days. Now, I want to encourage some of you. There are some things you're facing in life that are contrary to what you believe. And you have spoken to the mountain and you have said things and said things. And when the Lord sees you, he says, go on, don't give up. Keep doing it. But he knows that, like how the scripture says, it fell on a certain day. Have you read those expressions? And it fell on a certain day that when Elisha was passing by that side, some woman saw him and said, please come and have a meal with us. It fell on a certain day. I think Elisha probably had passed there before. But it hadn't yet fallen on that day for someone to see him and call him. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anything you must see there is that every day is not a working day. Not every day is a day to drink poison. When it says they shall pick up serpents, they shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. My friend, if you go looking for deadly things that you think will not hurt you, they will hurt you, and we shall have to go somewhere we didn't want to go. You know, your funeral. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So, here is something I wrote down when I was meditating on this. Really blessed my life, eh? I saw that, you see, a non-working day is an off day, isn't it? When you're not working, you call it your day off. It's your off day. And it's interesting that your off day is also not just your off day, your day off. It's a day when you're off your game. You're not on top of your game. Hallelujah. You can pull any levers you want. You can push any buttons. But if it's your off day, wow, hallelujah. And some of us, of course, we are in the 6 days of the bank. We are in the six, our 6 days are made for us by whichever place we are working at. But somehow your 6 days are not fitting in their 6 days. You work and by the third day, my friend, on Wednesday, you are maxed out. You are tapped out. It's a working day, but it's not a working day. It's not working. No wonder you're playing solitaire and you are... You are chatting with some people because things are not shifting. Hallelujah. Glory. It is your off day. Now, recognize that soon enough and don't fight with it. Hallelujah. And by the way, that is why it's good to be a good employee. When you're a good employee, your boss knows when it's your off day. And he doesn't bother. He can even tell you, you go to Aristoc and look around. See what books are there, you know, chill. You can come back at 4. Because he knows it's not working. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Am I saying something? I saw myself prophesying to this gentleman that you have a destiny to be a preacher. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And the Spirit of God will come upon you like eagle's wings, and you'll be carried to another place. And that which was not your thing will become your thing. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So you're off your game. You're not on top of your game. You're not your best. You say, I'm not my best. Today, I'm just not there. I'm not in my sweet spot. Other people say, this is another illustration they use. They say, I'm not open for business. You are there at the office, but you're not open for business, my friend. Things are not there. Now, Jesus said something in Luke chapter 13. And now the same Luke 13 where we were, if you go down to the 32nd verse, you don't have to go there. You can just write it down. But I remember that the disciples or some people were telling Jesus to not say certain things or do certain things because Herod wanted to kill him. They tell him, Herod is not happy with you. He might kill you. And then Jesus says in verse 32, he says, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do cures today, tomorrow, and on the third day I will be perfected. Hallelujah. He doesn't cast out demons and do cures any days, any number of times. He says, I'm doing them today, I'm doing them tomorrow, and then on the third day I'm going to be perfected. Then working days will be over. He himself told us, that my time is short. I'm not going to be here all the time. You see me now. Where I'm going, you know. And the way, you know. Glory to Jesus. I'm hovering over there because this is the most important point. Glory to Jesus. Know your 6 days. Know the days that are working. By the way, you can go for a prayer retreat and you plan to pray. And you get there and your mind is not there. You are just not starting. You're a non-starter. Glory to God. You're just not taking off. It's not a working day. The day is not working. And it's also not a working day. Don't force anything. Glory to God. And that's why you need to know the Lord for yourself. Stay in the spirit of the meeting. Don't stumble anyone else. Glory to God. Don't pull out your video games or whatever. No, stay in the spirit of the meeting. But don't try to force any kind of praying, pulling strongholds and whatnot. It's not going to work. It's because it's not a working day. Now, the second thing that, the first thought in I must work while it is day is that I must work while it is a working day. The second thought is that we must work in working hours. Working days also are not just any time of any day. They have working hours. When we say the bank is open from Monday to Friday, we don't mean at midnight. The bank is not open at 9 p.m. It is open in certain hours. Now, in spiritual things, it is the same way. There are certain hours that are right. They are working. Paul, Jesus said that by the will of God, I have come to this hour. And I must not resist. Remember the hour of temptation and so on. There is an hour when things are supposed to happen. And then there's an hour which doesn't work. So there are also working hours. Now, Jesus brought in a thought how he explained what working hours are. He, after saying, I must work while it is day, he made an interesting note there. He says, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do you see? Day corresponds to light. Sunlight, daylight. Hallelujah. I work while it is day. In other words, while we are in the waking hours. That's what days in English we call it waking hours. Now, waking hours can give you a thought there that you see in daytime you see where you're going. You are aware. You're not asleep. Glory to God. Now, what that means is you work while you see what you should be doing. You see, if an impression comes upon you to give, for example, someone a gift or to do something or a manifestation of the Spirit happens, if you don't work in that hour, Like, for example, I saw myself ministering to this gentleman. If I don't do it in this hour, hallelujah, and I try to see him after the service, when it's not working hours, it will not work. A certain man of God said this. You see, even when the Lord gives you a word of wisdom, a prediction of what's going to come in the future, and it's from him, if you do not speak it, this man of God said, if you don't speak it, it will not come to pass. Can you imagine? The Lord is telling you this is going to happen. So if I spoke it, or if I didn't speak it, it is going to happen, isn't it? But that's not how the Lord sees it. When you don't speak it, in other words, when you don't enact it into existence in its hour, then it will not happen. But it's also the same thing. If you're the person supposed to receive, or you're the person supposed to participate in that thing, in that hour, you can't come after the service and say, I am the one you are talking about. I am the one. You know, can't you lay hands on me? No. You see, I told you we can cast out devils, but again, we can't. So if the Lord tells me there's someone here who has a demon, I should cast it out. I can't do it after the service. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it is me doing it, but it is also not me. I can't just pull a rabbit out of the hat anytime I want. Glory to Jesus. There is a working hour. Now, the working hours are the hours of daylight. The waking hours. Waking hours, when you are awake. Now, when you are awake, you know what to do. For example, you feel inspired, give that person this amount of money. If you start saying, but why should it be 30,000? Can't it be 29,000? Can't it be 49,000? Now, when you start that, you're getting out of your daylight. It's becoming night. You see, the Bible says, they that sleep, like we said, they sleep at night. They that are drunk at night. I must work while it is day, because the night is coming. Now, it's so easy. When night comes, now the 30,000 will have become 300 shillings. It will have become 46,000 and 13,000 and 4,000. Now, at the end of the day, you're confused, so you sleep on the job. You sleep on the job. Hallelujah. You don't do what you are supposed to do, because now you're confused. You're in the dark. You're back in the dark. And it has become night, even in daytime. Hallelujah. I must work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. During the day, the lights are on. Like how people say, the lights are on. You have an idea what to do. It's like the aha moment. You know, when the light bulb moment comes, if you're Thomas Edison, you don't try to do the light bulb thing tomorrow. You don't say, I will do it in the afternoon. No, when Archimedes was in the bathtub, and the water came out of, he couldn't say, aha, but we shall see tomorrow. We shall deal with it tomorrow. No, aha is for that moment, and it must be dealt with that moment. Glory to Jesus. Am I telling you something? Are you getting something? Now, the third way in which it is working while it's day is, like we said, yes, there is light. You having light, knowing what you're supposed to do. But also, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Notice he says, I must work. And while I am in the world working, I am the light. So that means when you are really working, it will bring light to the other people. The work of God brings light, enlightenment, development. Remember Jesus said that, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, I think verse 4, that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, for years, we've had Bible scholars tell us that word light there means driving force. It means development. It means, the gears of your life beginning to move. The life caused the gears of people's lives to begin to move. So things started to happen. Then we call it development. We call it civilization. Hallelujah. The cause is the life. In him was life. Which life, of course, we know, this life is enacted in form of what we call working for a living. Your livelihood. That's where your life is what? Is animated. You go to the workplace. A workplace is a place to live from. L-I-V-E. Hallelujah. When you're at your workplace, you should be the most alive. Hallelujah. You say you're working for a living. You say that that is your livelihood. Now, if it's your livelihood, that life that is working in you will be the light of men. The gears of their life will begin to move. The things in their lives that were in ruin, now Isaiah 58:12, which is telling us, they that be of this shall be rebuild the old wastes. They shall restore the paths to dwell in. They shall be called repairers of the breach. Hallelujah. These are the guys who are working this life that is in them so that it becomes the light of men. Light doesn't just mean bulbs being on. When there's light, cities come up, growth comes, buildings, businesses, like her business. Glory to Jesus. Light has come to her. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So, you work while your work is being a light and not bringing darkness. That's partly what it means. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, that's number three, right? Number four is, you work, glory to Jesus, while it makes your day. Hallelujah. We use this expression, it made my day. Man, when you did that thing on the keyboard, it made my day. You notice when we say something made someone's day, we mean for, as far as we are concerned, the day is done. Even if we go home, even if now Monday starts, the day is done. Now, I'm going to show you that it is as much the Lord's day as it is supposed to be your day, because Jesus said to these guys who are asking about, why are your people eating the corn on the Sabbath day? Why are they doing these things? And then he tells them, you guys also go and get your donkeys and take them to water. You do these things which are beneficial to you. And then he's actually telling them it is actually right. It's okay. And then he says the Sabbath was not made, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So in other words, just like I said, when Jesus said the master goes to his house, the servant does not ask for any thank you, because he knows he's an unprofitable servant who has only done what he's supposed to do. There is also a flip side, that in doing what he's supposed to do, it's also supposed to make his day. Because the Sabbath is not just for the Lord. He said he's the Lord of the Sabbath, but he also said the Sabbath was made for man. Are you getting that? So you make his day. You work to make his day so that the Lord can be like, yeah, my son, you've done it. But you also work to make your day. So that man, it makes your day. I have a friend who is a medical doctor. He used to work in Mulago sometime, and he said, man, when he had just started, he would be, you know, full of energy and what, he would work probably even up to 11 p.m. and he still feels like, hey, man, where is the work? We need to work. We need to do work. Bring the patients. Bring this. Then a day came where by 11 a.m. he would be finished. He's tapped out. There is nothing more. He's wondering, when is this day going to end? Glory to Jesus. I alluded to that a bit earlier. But I'm trying to tell you that God is wanting you to look for that aha moment in your life. There should be these bursts of what? Of, I did it. Man, that you can't do it any better than that. That note which I hit, it is the winner. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, every one of you is supposed to strike a certain note in your work that makes your day. You do those reports and you're like, yeah, there's no one who can balance the balance sheet like this one. It is balanced. Hallelujah. It must make your day. But then also, that was number what? Number four? Number five, it must also make someone else's day. You see, there's something interesting about the things of the Lord. There's all this back and forth. It is for the Lord, but again, it is for you. It is for you, but again, it's for him. You know, he says, love one another as you love yourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. As if you can't really love yourself without loving your neighbor. As if you can't love your neighbor without loving yourself. So it can't make your day if it hasn't made someone else's day. Hallelujah. We are intertwined. So when I score, When whoever scores a hat trick, CR7, is he called CR7 or whoever? When is who? Or Bobby Young or something. When someone hits that hat trick or does the thing in the game, honestly speaking, if they are the only ones who live off that moment is very bankrupt. What is that moment? If you go, imagine you went and you did the pole vault, you know those high jump things, the real high ones? You did a pole vault and jumped up there and you came out shouting, yay! But the whole stadium was looking at you like, kati bichebyo? Uyu agamba bichebyo, you know? It didn't make anyone's day. Man, I'm sure it won't make your day. Even if you come and do pull any strokes, do any, there is something about that mutual recognition. Like they say, like two, your hearts are like two drums beating to the same beat. That connection is what all human beings seek. That it's called understanding. When you communicate, you're seeking what we are told in Latin is called consensus ad idem. It means a meeting of minds. Hallelujah. There is something about understanding that when you know, I know. And I know you know that I know. So we know. And so we chill. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is what it is. This thing called scoring is, it only makes sense if the scorer and the ones who are there when it happened all scored at the same time. You scored, you know, even in those days, the guy would go to make a penalty kick, whether World Cup or whatever, and we would all help him to score the goal. And if it there went out, we're like, katirabo, no. You know, glory. There's something about scoring that there's no way that the scoring is yours alone. Otherwise, it's not scoring. Hallelujah. So it makes my day, but then it also makes your day. That's what, number five. The number six is, it's also working while day in the sense of your whole lifetime is your day. You know, when they talk about the days of the Roman Empire, or their, or anyway, something like that, they're talking about the lifetime. In John 8:56, the Bible tells us that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Now, interestingly enough, like I said, his day is also the day it should make the people's day, the ones among whom he works. It is so true, because in Luke 19:40, maybe 41 or so, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. Remember, he said, Abraham saw my day, he rejoiced, and he was glad. Now he's approaching Jerusalem, and he weeps for it, and says, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, if only you had known the things that belong to thy peace. And if you had known this in this thy day of visitation, if you had known the day of your visitation, but the day of their visitation was their day. But it was their day while it was his day. You see, God has appointed for you a lifetime in which to live, a time span in which to dwell on the earth, because there's someone's day he's trying to make. He's setting things for somebody. And if you don't intersect with that, if your life does not happen to fall in the same day as their day, my friend, something has gone. But Proverbs 4:18 tells us the path of the just is like the shining light, which shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That means every single day is actually the same day being reenacted until we reach a certain perfect alignment with other people's days. So, you see, we are all there in Catherine Kuhlman's day, but it's her day. Yeah. But man, if you are there in her day, it was your day, man. It made your day. Ah! If you are there in Jesus' day, that was your day of visitation. Yet at the same time, it was his day. He says, lo, I am come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. Now, he tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, this is what he says, that every one of us, for as long as it is called today, Let us hear his voice. Let's not harden our hearts as they did in the days of provocation in the wilderness, where the Lord was said, my soul is not pleased with these people because they always err and they have not known the truth. And he says, but for you, he says, let there not be found in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Know your day. You see, when it's time to enter the promised land, your day can take you 11 days. Now, as your journey can take you 11 days. But when they missed that opportunity, now some other guys came to Moses and said, let's go and get the land. Moses told them, don't go because the Lord is not with you. But they are trying to attempt the same day, the same working hours. They're trying to work. They've set up some hours and says, man, it's not working hours. Working hours closed. The office is not open for business. The office of going to the promised land. And so, I don't remember if some went and they were destroyed or something, but it didn't work. Now, lastly, your day is your Winston Churchill called it your finest hour. You see, there is your lifetime as your day. But in all of our lifetimes, there is a high moment. There is a moment of, like we used to call it, World Cup finals last time. There is a moment when, you know, like these sportsmen know it. They know that if you detect any kind of talent about you, you're a golfer, you're whatever you are, you need to get in on it early because by the time you're like 30 or 31, it is over. Now you can come and try to do a Zidane move or try to do, I don't know whose move. It will just not happen. Because in our lives, now Winston Churchill said, to every man, there is a moment in his life when he's figuratively tapped on the shoulder and asked to do some unique thing, something which is particular to his talents. And it is a tragedy if that man should be found unprepared for that which would have been his finest hour. Man, this Winston Churchill we're talking about was a member of parliament like for 40 years or something. But do you know what his finest hour was? World War II, when he was already like gray-haired. He's talking, he's talking some garbled things. But that was his finest hour. Now, he said that in life, it will seem like when you get to that moment, you will realize it is as if all the things before then had been conspiring to set you up for this grand moment where, like Joseph, now when they say, let's go to make you number three in the kingdom or number two, it is actually like, that's where I've been actually for the last 12 years or something. I've been there, but the light of a righteous man shines ever brighter unto the perfect, that perfect day. And then we say it's deja vu. I've been here before. Glory to God. I must work while it is day. Now what it means is there are some things that are only going to happen in your finest hour. I'm done. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.